And God is good, amen?
Amen.
I say, like, listen, we could probably just close in prayer. I still have about an hour message to give, so you guys aren't off the hook. But isn't God good, man? Give him credit. God is so good, amen? Yeah. Thank you, God. You know, what's encouraging is just the kind of like the different, and I love to hear the youth, and I love to hear the still young people don't get, I say, what are you going to say now? The little bit of us that are a little more seasoned in our walk. Isn't, we know this, right? That we live in a world that is fallen, but Jesus is who he says that he is.
Amen.
He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? He redeems all stories. Where there are stories of brokenness, or where we grew up in church and have walked away, listen, God is amazing, and his mercy is so deep and great, right? And so I just want to thank everybody for sharing their testimony. At this time, I'm going to have them, why don't you guys go on back to your families? And I'm going to have you guys stand. We're going to pray over our candidates. But if you're going to, so if your family is here, go gather around them. And let's go ahead and stand. So let's go ahead and stand. And I want you to be with your families. And I want you guys to hold hands with your families. Be together. It's important, right? This is one thing is that, listen, the people, our church family, we're here for you, right? And then you have family that's here for you as well. Because the enemy, I love that Kendall closed with that verse, the enemy is roaring like a lion, right? He is looking who he can devour. But here's the thing, we're stepping forward in faith, but you don't do it alone. You have a tribe of people around you, your family, your friends, your church, that love you, right? And that are here for you in this journey, amen? So go ahead and make sure that you're around somebody. Go ahead, Joey, grab a shoulder over here. We're still in a small enough church that we can do these things, amen? We don't take ourselves that serious. We're like, it's important that we pray. Because nothing is more important than, yes, it's good to hear what God is doing, but man, there is power in prayer. And so while I'm praying, I also want you guys that are there to be praying as well. Does that make sense? Okay, if you're gathered in, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for your power, your strength, Lord God, and I thank you for the testimonies of what you're doing in the life of every person that came up here. They say, get baptized today, Lord God. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for protection. We pray that you continue to have your hand over their life, Lord God. We pray that you would watch over them, Lord. As we see in Numbers 6:24, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord God, that you would anoint them, Lord God, that you would keep them. Lord, thank you again for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God. We rebuke all the attacks of the enemy, Lord God. We know he wants to distract. We know he's a liar, Lord God. He's the father of liars. But Lord God, we have victory in your name, Lord Jesus. And so we claim that victory, Lord God, over every person that is represented here, over every family that is represented here, Lord God. And we're excited about what you're doing in their life. Because you're not done, Lord God. You're just, this is a step of faith, Lord God. And they're proclaiming, Lord, to the world that they belong to you. And so they're going to baptize in your name, Lord God. We're going to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because you are the God, Lord, that can do all things. You're not done. And so I pray again, an extra blessing over their family, over their home, over their own walk, Lord God, that you would sustain them. Sometimes, Lord God, when we get tired, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you sustain their walk, Lord. And I pray that you would give each one of them a burning desire to want to know you more, to keep their eyes focused on the cross, to find their joy in you, Lord God, to find their true identity in who you say that you are, that they are your children first. And Lord God, I pray that you would continue to use them to magnify and to glorify your name upon high, Lord God. Thank you again. And then, Lord, just bless every person that is here. Bless every family. Lord God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 All right. Well, I'm going to do like a really fast version of the sermon because I think I have like 15 minutes. But, listen, everybody that was giving their testimony, that's already a sermon in itself, amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to fast forward because we do have to cover, because it's Palm Sunday. How do you guys know that? I mean, you guys remember when you grew up in church? Churches would bring the little palms. And yeah. To me, that was my favorite time. I honestly hated going to church, but I love Palm Sunday because I would make a little cross. So that was like the reason. I was like, oh, we get to make a little cross today. So I was telling my wife, we need to bring that back. Right? So anyway, today we're going to power through our verses and I always say, listen, there's not a lot of power in my words, but there's power in God's word.
Yeah.
Okay. So even if we just read the scriptures, then we pray over it, and we finish, and go celebrate baptisms, have some good food and fellowship, we're good. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But it is Palm Sunday, and so today we're in the fifth sermon in our series, From the Ashes, and it's talking about sacrifice. Every week we've been talking and learning about one thing, a quality about Jesus, amen? Mm-hmm. And so this week is about sacrifice. And so I do have one short story, because sacrifice matters, right? Parents in the room, you guys know what it means to sacrifice?
Yes.
Yeah, amen. It costs you a lot. Nobody told you that we're going to have that you're going to have kids, that it was going to cost you what? Everything. Sleep, your body, your money. What else? Your car. I mean, I don't know if this is true. People are like, you didn't really have them. How put them in your body? Hey, somebody had to eat with her, and she was needed that comfort, you know? Amen. I actually put on 25 pounds when Ethan was born. Okay, so I did have a six pack. It's all the kids' fault. I blame the kids. The ladies in the room were like, you better be quiet, Pastor. You don't even know. I don't know. Okay? So I'm sorry. But it is sacrifice, right? And so, listen, I had a story about a gentleman that gave his life and sacrificed. It's up on the screen. If you want to go ahead and put his picture up on the screen. Is a gentleman that was recognized and received the Medal of Honor, right, for valor. His name is John Robert Fox. He was a first lieutenant. And he served in the Second World War. I don't know if you guys know this. You guys probably maybe have heard little stories about him. But when he was deployed, he was actually in Italy. And as he was doing battle in the middle of the fight in the war, and the Germans were coming upon the city that they were in. And long story short, he was in a village called Somma Colonia near Tuscany, right? You hear a lot about that. But they were surrounded. And they had very little hope. Long story short, he climbs up to a second story of a house, and he starts radioing in auxiliary to have essentially bombs, right? Artillery bombing. You guys have seen that? It's almost like the equivalent of when they set off fireworks. They kind of put them. You guys have seen them at 4th of July. It's like mortars, and they put it in. You guys see, like Saving Private Ryan. So long story short, he starts radioing to his colleagues or his fellow soldiers, and when he starts noticing, he's like, hey, you're getting closer and closer to where you are. And he says, yeah, there's actually a lot of German people around. He says, listen, just shoot, start setting all these shells here. Long story short, he actually ends up dying, right? He gave up his life. And a lot of things, the closing line in there, it says, Fox had radioed an artillery bombment for his position, and he bravely sacrificed his life to call in the order. He says, fire it. There's more of them here than they are of us. Give them hell. And that's the last thing that they heard from. And in fact, when they actually went back in, the Americans actually were retreating. They went back and fought the next day. And because of his sacrifice, a lot of his troop lived. Does that make sense? And so they went back and they honored him. And it wasn't until 1998, because listen, he served in an all-black troop or regiment, whatever you call it. And it wasn't until 1997, right, when he was actually honored with the Congressional, with the Medal of Honor. But that sacrifice, isn't that amazing? Right? That's really sacrificial, right? Not many of us, I joke that we sacrifice our body and sacrifice for our kids. Here's a man who sacrificed his life, right, for the people he served with. And so how do we look into that? How does that tie into the sermon? Well, we're here to celebrate Palm Sunday. And I think Stephen said it best too, is that as Jesus was walking in, he was coming to Jerusalem, he knew everybody was celebrating and singing Hosanna, right? You guys remember that? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But Jesus was coming in, and he knew that he was going to have to give his life. In fact, Palm Sunday marks the beginning of what I would call a very terrible week. But it's Holy Week, because we know the outcome. Let's just dive into the Word. I'm going to power through some of this, because ultimately we know that, yes, like this man up on the screen, he sacrificed his life, right? We have a Savior. His name is Jesus, who sacrificed for us.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along with this in the screen as well. It says that they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. And the colt is actually a donkey. Untie it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back shortly. Now they went and found a colt outside the street, tied it at the doorway, And as they untied it, some people were standing there and said, "What are you doing? Untying that colt," right? Again, it's another word for donkey. They answered as Jesus had told them, and people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it. He sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut into the fields. Those who went ahead of them followed and shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany to the 12. Amen. Mm-hmm. So if you guys know this, these events are recorded in all of the Gospels, right? The Synoptic Gospels and also John as well. So if you ever want to kind of piece it together, you can see what's going on. But we always say, if we're going to gossip, we're going to gossip about the gospel, right? So we always talk about context. What is happening here? So Jesus is, you'll notice that a good portion of Jesus' life in the Gospels is recorded. Half of it, most of it in Mark, Matthew, they spend a lot of time talking about this week because it's what? It matters. It's a big deal. Amen? So let's go ahead and put the map on the screen. So we can a little bit of history. I am a nerd. I'm going to admit it. Right? I'm not ashamed of it. When I look at things and I start to prep, I always want to say, "Huh, how far is that? I wonder where that is." I don't know if you guys know that. That's kind of like, to me, I nerd out on that kind of stuff, read the Bible, and it's like, squirrel. And I said, let's go look at that map over there. Right? So if you like it or not, too bad. I'm the one that's up here today. So this is Jerusalem, you guys can see. This is Bethany. And they're going over to Beth Page, right? Now, do you guys know any friends that their name is Bethany? Do you guys have any Bethany friends? Do you know that the name Bethany means house of sorrow? So, like, if you're naming the... there's no Bethany's in here, right? Well, we're good. We can keep talking about it. And then Beth Page, right, stands for rotten figs. Beth Page, not... Not just Paige, Beth Paige, okay? So House of Sorrow, like Jesus was in the House of Sorrow, and then they're like, go over to the town of rotten figs, right? Listen, I know you guys are like, we need to know all this stuff. I don't know, it kind of helps fill in the story, doesn't it? It was a real place, right? This is a little bit of mountains. This is the Kidron Valley right here. And actually, I was going to bring pictures of the actual, you can actually walk and see, right? Or you can come down the valley, you can actually see where the temple used to be. Does that make sense? But anyway, this is where Jesus was. It's about a mile. He's a mile outside of town. He's in Bethany, and they go forward to Bethpage to get him a white horse? Get him a golden chariot? What did they say? Get him a donkey, right? So one of these days, I'm going to get a donkey, and we're going to have it come through right here in the middle. There you go. No, we're not going to do that. Some churches, big churches, will actually do that. We're not going to do that. We'll get a stuff. No, my wife's like, no. So anyway, you can see the path that was taken here as he went into town, and then he went back out to the Mount of Olives, right? You guys can kind of see. So anyway, that's just me nerding out. Go ahead and show the next one, Stu. This gives you a little bit more of a topography map. There's Bethany, there's the Mount of Olives, and then you kind of go down the Kidron Valley and then back up. So, hey, that's kind of just a little bit of history. Let me say, the context matters to me. But this is what's happening. He's coming in, and what are the people doing? They're cheering him on, right? They think that something massive is going to happen. Because Jesus has been preaching to a lot of people this time, right? 4,000, 5,000 people have been following. And now he's coming into Jerusalem, and they're like, yes. He's coming to do what? To overthrow the Romans, right? Because the people, they wanted a victory. They were tired of living under Roman occupation. But what we're going to find out is it's important how Jesus comes in. And I know I'm running out of time, so I'm going to fast forward. But we want to go ahead. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Zechariah. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Zechariah. And we're going to read Zechariah 9. And you can just follow along on the stage, on the screen up there. Zechariah 9, verse 9 through 10. And it says there, in my Bible says, the coming of Zion's king. Verse 9 says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. And then verse 10 says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations, and he will extend from sea to sea, from river to river, to the ends of the earth. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that how Jesus comes in, listen, it's important. It's not just by coincidence. He came to fulfill what, if we see this and we look at what happens in Mark 11, we see that he's actually fulfilling the prophecy that's given in Zechariah 9:10. He's not coming in on a white horse like Alexander the Great. You guys see that? He's coming in on a donkey. Because listen, Jesus, and this is the first fill in the blank in today's message, it says Jesus came to be a peace, a king of peace and not force. Jesus came to be a king of peace and not force. And isn't it great, right? Listen, a lot of us are trying to force our way into trying to get it right or do a thing our way, right? We really, at the end of the day, as people, we need peace. We need the hope that we find in Jesus Christ alone. And so what we're talking about here is that he came in to fulfill that prophecy. But even then, we're going to go further back. And I'm just going to flip over to Genesis 49 really quick, and I'm going to read it. Because it's not a coincidence. Again, Jesus doesn't do anything. Things that we're seeing, so when we piece it together, we have to go back and say that all parts of the Bible are what? They're about Jesus. I don't know if you guys know that. So Jeremiah 49, let's read that passage of Scripture. And this is when Jacob is blessing his sons. And you can see the first three sons that are, if you read chapter 49, he doesn't bless three of his sons. You guys know that. But we're going to pick up on 49:9, where he's blessing Judah, because he says to him, in verse 8, it says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return for the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Until he comes to belongs and shall, and sorry, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations will be his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, and his colt to the choicest branch, and he will wash the garments in wine, and his robes in the blood of the grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, and his teeth will be whiter than milk. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, amen. You can kind of see that this is where you get into the scripture, you can nerd out, start connecting the dots about who he's talking about. So what we see, and we read in Mark 11, we actually see it coming to fruition, what was happening here in the blessing, right? And it's interesting, you guys, we sing that song all the time, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, right? We're singing about Jesus. And we see how we're actually bringing peace. And again, it doesn't talk about he's riding this white stallion. He's talking about a donkey, a foal, because he is the Prince of Peace, amen? And so we see two, just in that little passage alone, we see two different prophets that are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came to become a king of peace, not force. But the people back to, let's fast forward to Mark 11, what did they think? They think that he was coming to, right, they wanted, what did they want? Did they want peace?
No.
No, they wanted what? Power. They wanted war, right? They wanted freedom from Rome. And they wanted him to, did they want him to wait? No, they wanted it immediate. It's like, I want it now. Like some of us in here, when something's not going right, when do we want it? God to fix it later?
No.
We want it to do, I want it now. Like, flex your power on this person right now. Mm-hmm. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Some of you guys pray that prayer? Yeah. Sometimes? but guess what? Jesus is the king of peace, not force. Right? So Jesus, we know, came to bring salvation. Right? He came to bring transformation. And he came to bring us eternal freedom. Because those things are temporary, right? What we all have a longing for is we have a longing for in our hearts for the eternal. I don't know if you know that. We're made to worship God. And so, I don't know about you guys, but some, like Joey tells me, he works out a lot. I don't. I don't know if you guys know that. Because this is the true story. This is the first time in my life I'm ever wearing a 2X shirt. Okay? I think it's because of the fit. This is a slim fit 2X. They make those now. I was like, why do they make a slim fit 2X?
No.
But I looked at it, my wife bought it, and she's like, I'm okay, this is 2X. She'll just try it on. And I was like, it fits me. So I don't go to church. I don't go to the gym. But I hear that when you go to church, they have like personal trainers there, yeah? The gym. What did I say?
Church.
Oh. Tell me this. I need more coffee. I do go to church. I don't go to the gym. Yes? Okay, thank you. But I hear that they have people that hire personal trainers, right? The personal trainer, when you go, do they make it all easy on you? They want to challenge you to transform you, yeah? From like a little round, something chiseled. So maybe. So there's still hope for me. I'm still young. But no, listen, God didn't come to make things easy for us either. He came to transform us. We just heard what amazing testimony about how people were living their lives. And he says, listen, I put you through that so you can be transformed. Because every one of us in here we tried to do it our own way. I've tried to do it my way. It didn't work out. I needed a transformation through Jesus Christ. And that's what he came to do. Thank God that he did. Because I was a hot mess too, guys. So, listen. Jesus is a humble king. And the thing about it is, listen, how do you respond to a humble king? He is demanding a response. I don't know if you guys know that, but he is demanding a response. And so, are we following him because we want the blessing, or are we following him because we really need to be transformed? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. The second thing, and the second point for today's message, and again, I'm going faster than I normally would, so I'm cutting out a lot of examples, is that number two, emotional praise without true surrender doesn't last. Emotional praise without true surrender doesn't last. You know, like, how many of you guys are... Your favorite maybe football team, the basketball team has won like the championship in the last 5 years. Anybody? One person? The rest of us are Cowboy fans and Raider fans. Never win. I'm a Bills fan, so I know my heart gets broken every year. You know.
Yeah.
But even when your team wins, it's like, all right, I'm happy, yeah. And then what?
No.
You still got bills to pay. You still got to go to work. It's not like you have a ring on your finger, you know? Look at me, I'm a champion. You can buy a replica, I guess, and wear it around. It'd be kind of funny, though. That would not be... Anyway, you could. But listen, that's like the emotional praise when your team's in, yeah! And then your team gets eliminated every year in the playoffs by the Chiefs. And then we hate Josh Allen, you know? But it's not emotional. Listen, emotional praise without surrender, this is what we're talking about. The people who are excited about Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is awesome. Right? I mean, we've even seen that in the church. I'll be quite honest with you. People show up sometimes and they're on fire. Like, I want to do this, this, and that. And we're like, we're so-and-so. He was going to go and transform the world for Jesus Christ. Like, oh man, I don't know. That guy's not doing good. You ever seen that? Yeah. It's that emotional response. Jesus didn't come for emotion. He came for commitment, guys. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm to say like, oh yeah, I saw you, you're washing the windows during the worship, man, that's God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Who are you pleasing? You're trying to make the person like, I want that person to see me that I'm really holy over there. But keep washing that window. You know what I mean? Make sense? Yeah. Listen, God didn't come for your emotional praise. He came for you, for your commitment.
Amen.
Like he wasn't lukewarm when he went to the cross for us, guys. And so the emotional praise that people are feeling is like they were looking for the benefit. They weren't looking to be surrendered. And God is calling us to something else, right? And so, as we see, right, the people that were coming, the people that were present, they were there for an emotional high. They wanted to see a victory. They wanted to see a win. They weren't there to give up their lives, right? They weren't there to pick up their crosses. They had nothing to do with that. But for us, we have to ask ourselves, is our faith based on feelings, or are we really committed to this thing? Right? Listen, even if you're not a believer in Christ, I'm going to tell you, just in practical terms, the things that bring lasting value in your life don't come easy. Everybody knows that, yeah? It's going to cost you something. You have to commit to it. That makes sense? Like, you want to have kids that are good kids and model citizens, it takes a lot of work. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
It'd be easier to leave them as like knuckleheads, right? Amen. It takes a lot of work, a lot of prayer, a lot of sacrifice. But we do it because we love our kids. We're committed to them, yes?
Yes.
You want to have a healthy marriage. Guess what? Man, that takes a lot of work too.
Amen.
Partially because, man, we're so stubborn.
Amen.
We're so full of pride.
Amen.
And God comes to prune things out. And it's like, man, God, why are you pruning that part right here? This is sensitive right here. My pride and unforgiveness, my need to be always right, I keep mine right here. And when you take that out, but what, guess what? Because my pride and unforgiveness is right here, and I you guys have heard me model this along. My wife is meant to be alongside me, and if my pride and unforgiveness are here, it's over there poking her eye and hitting her. And I need to what? I would say prune. You guys following the analogy? It's going to cost us something. And here's the reality that is that to follow Jesus is going to cost you something. But man, there's nothing better, guys. A lot of times we think that the things that like we value, oh, I really want to go here. It's going to cost me that. Or I don't want to go to that church because they're going to ask me. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys point blank. The church is here as an extension of what God created for us to do. We don't want anything from you. I've even stood up here and I said, you know what? When we talk about the tithe, he says, if you don't want to give a dollar to this church, don't. You're not robbing me. But it's a spiritual discipline. You're robbing yourself. The pastor gets up and says, like, oh, I need to serve. Like, we should be serving over here. It's like, because we're so desperate for you to serve. You're God's gift to ministry. Yeah, I need. Does that make sense? It's your opportunity to serve the kingdom. It's your opportunity to serve God. Right? And so it's an invitation. The church is the place where we get to do that together. And we get to have fun. And we get to see God working and moving. We get to see testimonies about his goodness. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So, you know, when I talk about that, I'm just like, man, he's kind of mean. No, I'm not saying like that. You know? I hope you guys don't walk away. So if it's your first time here, I'm sorry. I don't take myself that seriously. But, you know, come talk to me afterwards. If I've offended you, come talk to me. Right? I'll be the first one to say, listen, you need to know my heart. My heart is for the people. My heart is for Jesus. And if I get something wrong, then come talk to me, right? Let's go. Let's open the scripture. I'll take you to lunch. I will pay, and you pray. Or the next time, I will pray, and you pay. And that's okay, too. That makes sense? We're not here to take ourselves that seriously. We take God very seriously. Amen? But the church is a body where we get to do this life together. There's nothing better, guys. But it's going to cost us something. It costs you a little bit here and there, but man, you're building up the kingdom. You're doing your part. Nothing is better. And lastly, let's just turn to Philippians 2, and I'm going to go fast because I hear somebody's stomach over here. I think it's a tiger. There's bread in the back. It's Christian. It's my son. I always say, somebody get their kid. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, in relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and under the earth. Man, isn't that awesome? It says in heaven and earth, and he says even under the earth. What's he talking about? Man, every knee is going to bow before the name of Jesus. Amen? And every tongue will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
So number three, it says the king came to give his life. Right? Will you give yours? The king came to give his life. Will you give yours? This is a Palm Sunday. It wasn't the peak, right? It was the beginning of a week of sacrifice. We've been enduring a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. We're going to talk about that. If you come to our worship night on Friday night, we're going to read the passage of scriptures about what Jesus endured on the cross. Or what the insults that he took, the beatings that he took, and what he meant and why he did it. But he gave his life, right? And so Jesus' invitation, right? He's inviting us to follow him. And we can't be lukewarm in our commitments to him. Ultimately, right, we know that true discipleship costs us something. It requires sacrifice. And that's what we celebrate today. Again, it's just as we get ready to go and celebrate baptisms, right? It's not just a moment. It's something that we celebrate. It means that I'm dying to myself. I'm being renewed again in Jesus Christ. I'm rising with Christ. And it's a picture of the same sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So Jesus had, at that time, right, as we read back in Mark 11, a crowd of people that was following. And the question that you have to ask yourself, are you just like one of those lukewarm people that are just cheering for God, that you're just kind of looking for the blessing? You go to him when you need something? Or are you really kind of hunkered down in your walk with Jesus Christ? Is he the Lord of your life? And if he's not, then you need to ask yourself, who is Jesus, right? That's the most important question that every one of us in here has to answer. Are we going to follow him, or are we just going to cheer for him? Are we just going to go and, like somebody said, go to him when we need something? The thing about that is, like, hey, God is good and he answers prayer, but man, we are robbing ourselves if we have that view of God. The most important relationship that we can have is a full relationship, right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ is filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing is better. Nothing else will satisfy. Right? Not even a Snickers. Jesus is the one who satisfies. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your kindness to us, Lord God. Thank you that you are the God that satisfies, Lord God. You satisfy our needs, Lord God. Every one of us here, as we heard testimony, they all shared about a need to want to be right, a right relationship with you. And so thank you, Father, for what you're doing in their life. Lord, thank you that you called us into your relationship. Your word tells us that even that those that come to Jesus have been called to the Father first, Lord God. And Lord, just you do all the heavy lifting for us, Lord. You just want obedience. You want commitment. You don't want us to be lukewarm in this walk. But your word tells us that if we're lukewarm, that you will spit us out, Lord God. And that even if we're going here and we're doing the work, Lord, your word tells us as well, Lord, that there's a passage, it's in Luke, where it says, you tell us to go away. You never knew us. Even though they were doing the work. And casting down demons in your name. So, Father God, I just pray right now that our prayer would be that we would know you, Lord God, as Savior. That we would surrender our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Because nothing else is better than knowing you and being known by you, Lord God. Lord, as we look back on what was happening on that day, Lord God, as people were laying down palms, Lord God, for us, it's like we have to lay down our lives, Lord God, for you. At the end of the day, death to ourself, our pride, Lord God, all these things are our unforgiveness, Lord God. We surrender that to you. And to be a disciple is going to cost us, Lord, but you've already done everything. So, Father God, just continue to be with us, Lord God. As we leave this place and have to go celebrate baptisms, will you bless everything that happens, Lord, in Mr. Hernandez's home? Will you bless our gathering? And bless our time as we get there and we pray, Lord God, as we break bread, Lord, that you would be at the center of all things, Lord. Continue, Lord, to help us to dig into your word, to remember what it cost you. Remember what you did for us on the cross on that Good Friday, Lord God, but also as we celebrate next week, Lord, your resurrection, what that means to every single one of us, Lord God, that we can be forgiven of our sins. We can say yes to you in faith, Lord God, not by our works, but by our faith in you, Lord Jesus, and the mercy that you extend upon us, Lord God. Continue to guide us, continue to keep us, Lord. I thank you again for your goodness, Lord. Love you, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.